vida.
Thank you.
but tonight God has been good. Amen. Our scripture reading will be coming from Genesis 18 chapter. We thank God for my wife. We thank God for all of you. Amen. And we just thank God. If ever there was a time we should really solely and wholly be dependent on the Lord, today is that time. We'll say amen. If there ever was a time that we needed the Lord in our life, today is that time. Amen. Just so much uncertainty. Everything, listen to the news. People are just randomly going by and shooting for no reason. Amen. But I heard somebody say, well, therefore, many of us provide the grace of God. So we thank God for that. So after you all be seated, we'll just go right to our notes tonight. We're going to start in Genesis 18 chapter. Now, Genesis 18 chapter presents some different scenarios. Amen. If you study, if you read it, it's just like the rest. But if you study it, it presents a different scenario. Amen. So let's start off in Genesis 18 chapter. We'll read verses 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. While you're all seated, and then we'll come back. Amen. Verses 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And then we will start with our notes. But Genesis 18 chapter presents a different stage, a different episode in Abraham's life. Amen. Abraham has been walking by faith and trusting God, but now God presents a different challenge for Abraham. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Now, you know, I know that a lot of us, we can still say amen.
Amen.
I know a lot of us are suffering with sicknesses and different things, but nevertheless, God is still good. First, I read, the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself towards the ground and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee for me. Let a little more, I pray you, be fetched and washed your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass off, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. Amen?
Amen.
So in the first verse reads, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. He sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. Now, if we go to our notes, this verse clearly shows that the Lord appeared in a what kind of form? Physical form. It didn't say the Lord spoke, the Lord appeared. Abraham was able to identify the personage of the Lord because this is the third time that the Lord appeared unto Abraham. First time when he was in Abram, in Genesis 12:7, the Lord appeared unto him. And the second time was in Genesis 17:1, when the Lord appeared. But between Genesis 12 and Genesis 17, we know there was a substantial period of time between the Lord's two appearances. Because we know that in the 17th chapter that Ishmael was born, and the scripture said that Ishmael at that time was 13 years old. And we should assume that because Abram left early Chaldees when he was 75, and then when the Lord appears to him again in the 17th chapter, he is how many years old? 99. Right? So somewhere between there, we know it had to be a substantial period of time, the Lord appeared unto Abraham. All right? We know that this has to be around this next appearance has to be about 3 months, right? Because when the Lord appeared unto Abraham in the 17th chapter, it says about this time next year you want to have a child. And he was how old? 99. Right, are you with me? And how old was Abraham when Isaac was born? 100. Right. So in the 17th chapter, he appears unto Abraham and says, you want to have a child. Then time you're here in 99, but then for some unforeseen reason, the Lord appears again 3 months later. All right, are you with me?
Amen.
So you got to keep that in mind as we go. Why did the Lord come back so soon from the appearance in the 17th chapter, okay? We know that this has to be around 3 months after the Lord had appeared unto Abraham in Genesis 17, because he was 99 years old. And we know that Isaac was born when Abraham was 100 years old, and Sarah was 90. The question that we must entertain is this: why would the Lord and his entourage return back to Abraham and Sarah so soon? Because in the 17th chapter, in the 21st verse, he tells Abraham, he said, at the set time, you're going to have a son. Mm-hmm. A set time. Remember, that if God has a set time, that's not an ambiguous time. Mm-hmm. But he said, it's a time of set, that means he has a definite plan. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So at the set time, he said, you're going to have a son. Amen? Now, Genesis 18:2. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself towards the ground. This appearance of the Lord is extremely different from his previous appearance because he brings two angelic beings with him this time. Through conjecture and comparison of the scripture, we can assume that one of these angelic beings could very well be Gabriel. Now, the scripture only names three angels in the Bible. Right? One is who? Gabriel. The other is Michael. And who's the third one? The fallen angel. Lucifer. Right? Those are the only angels that are named in the Bible. Gabriel, Michael, and the fallen angel, which we just didn't say fallen. We won't glorify him. But he's a fallen angel. But we're going to find, what I try to do is bring out something about these angels that's very important. Because right now, God, the Lord, is dealing with Abraham with an impossible miraculous situation. An impossible miraculous situation. So we're going to find in every impossible miraculous situation, either Gabriel or Michael was present.
Amen.
All right, so listen. You are with me?
Yeah.
All right, so let's continue. We can see through the scripture that Gabriel stood in the presence of God and was sent to Zacharias and Elizabeth to announce a miraculous birth for Elizabeth, who, like Sarah, had been barren in her old age. All right, now let's go. I gave you a lot of scriptures, and as we go further, there are a lot of scriptures that about the belief and the faith. But Luke 1, let's read verses 6 through 10, 18, 19, and 26 through 31. And they were both righteous, meaning walking, living in right standing, or righteous, are doing what was right before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. But they had a problem. Even though they were righteous and blameless, they had
no child.
Because that Elizabeth was
barren.
Sarah was also barren. And they both were now well spirited in years. And it came to pass that while he, Zacharias, had executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the customs of the priest's office, let's get the verse 11. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him,
fear
not, Zacharias, for thy long. Imagine he's old. But when he wanted?
But he's always on
time. How many of us really believe that? How many of us really believe that he's always on time? He's been calling on for years. Now, they were blameless and righteous. But it was many years before God answered their prayers. So your prayers have been heard. And Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well. Who does this sound like? Abraham and Sarah. And the angel, verse 19, and the angel answered said unto him, I am
Gabriel.
I'm Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God. So who else would the Lord be with him? For Sarah and Abraham, but someone who stood in the presence of God, sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. Gabriel was also sent to announce to Mary that she too was going to have a miraculous birth. Gabriel explained that Mary's pregnancy would be like no other pregnancy in the history of mankind, because she would have a virgin birth. And the child's name would be called
Jesus.
Now I want to point out that when you read the Bible, you can read it. But when you study the Bible, you have to pay particular attention to the changes. Right? Because there's only two times in Scripture where Jesus is capitalized all the way through, from J to the S. Only two times. In Matthew 1:21, when the angel announces the birth of Jesus, and here again. But we will find that when the Lord uses capitalization all the way through, that represents God. All right, are you with me? All right, so I want to point out a comparison of great significance when it comes to how the names of God are written in Scripture. I'm so glad it's not a private interpretation.
Amen.
But the Word of God is the Word of God. So, Lord, all caps reflects the original term, Yahweh, or Jehovah, and is used, and I am, and is used 6,823 times, the capital of the Lord. And it's the proper name of the proper name of the what? One true God. And in verse 18 it says, who appeared? The Lord appeared. Amen. Jesus also, Catholic, is only used two times in Scripture, because this identifies him with the original term, Yahweh of the I am. And it's the proper name of the one true God. Let's take a moment and compare Matthew 1:21-23 and Luke 1:31. Matthew 1:21-23 should dispel any doubt as to who Jesus was. Alright, because it says, verse 21 says, and she shall bring forth, talk about the virgin, and thou shalt call his name
Jesus.
Notice not just a capital J and everything else. Small does, but it was what? All. Now, Matthew is right to who? Jews. Right? Now, in order to understand it, Matthew is right to Jews. So when the Jews, knowing their heritage, see Jesus is all capital, they say, wait a minute. We know that it has to be Yahweh or God. Right? So he's writing to the Jews. Are you with me? All right. So he says, and for ye shall save his people from their sin. But who do the people really belong to? God. Alright? Now, this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth his son, and they shall call his name
Emmanuel.
And Emmanuel is interpreted as what?
God.
Not the Son of God with us. It's interpreted as who? It's interpreted as God with us. So when the Jews saw Yahweh, Jesus, the one true God, they said his name is Emmanuel. Because For that is God with us. Amen. And Luke 1:31 says, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and shalt call his name
Jesus.
These are the only two scriptures where Jesus is capitalized in our Bible. Because the important is the beginning. Luke 1 and Matthew 1, they tell us in the beginning who Jesus is. Amen. And then Luke 1:26 says, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city called Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin, a spousal man, whose name was Joseph of the house of Mary, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, and the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was, listen, when they saw angels, that was in trouble. Zacharias saw the angel, he was troubled. Mary sees the angel, she is troubled. Amen. So she was troubled to say, and cast her mind, what may I say, this should be. And the angel said unto her, isn't that the same thing he just said to Zacharias? He said, wait a minute. I'm sitting here on a good reason. Don't be afraid. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name
Jesus.
Through conjecture and confirmation of the scripture, we can assume that the second angelic being with the Lord is Michael the archangel. This can be seen as both Bible Gabriel reveals and makes us understand something that is not obvious to the human reason and understanding. It's not possible to figure out how can a virgin have a child. It's not possible to figure out how someone who no longer has a seed can get a child. But they came to explain how. That's why we can conclude that they had to be with the Lord. Daniel 15:16 reads, and it came to pass when Daniel had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man, and I heard a man's voice between the banks of Uli, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. Daniel 9:21-22, there is a lot in between that. I'm just highlighting because we don't want to be here all night. But y'all can say again, so maybe we do. 9:21 said, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And 22, and he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. Daniel 10:1 reads, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. Then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose horns were girded with a fine gold of Ephraim. His body was also like beryl, and his face has the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his garment and his feet were like the color of polished brass, and the voice of the word like the voice of a. It's the same vision that John saw in the Isle of Patmos in Revelation chapter 1. Daniel alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, but my countenance was turned into corruption, and I retained no strength. I want to skip down. All right, you're going to be on. Let's skip down to verse for the sake of time, so we can just get a little further in this. I just want to get to the point where it's right. Let's go to 10:13, okay? Let's go to 10:12. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand. So once again, Gabriel made them to understand. Now another angel is making Daniel to understand. And to chasten thyself before thy God. Thy words were heard, and I am come for thy word. But the prince of the king of Persia withstood me 120 days, but lo, one of the chief princes came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. And I come to make me understand. So once again, they give me what? Understand. Gabriel gave understanding. Michael is giving understanding. What shall befall my people in the latter days? For yet the vision is for many days. So Gabriel says it's for many days. Michael says it's for many days. And Abraham and Sarah receiving the promise was for many years, because Abraham was 75 years old when he received it. But how old was he when it was fulfilled? 100 years. All right. Now Jude 1:9 says, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed for the body of Moses. So we see the archangel. And then Revelation 12:7 said, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels, right, fall against the dragon, and the dragon fall and his angels. The sight of the Lord with these two angelic beings was so glorious and majestic that Abraham, the what kind of man? He was an old man. Ran with exuberance and excitement to meet them and bowed in reverence before him. The only place any person can be in the presence of God is on his face, in total reverence to God. Alright? Now let's go to Genesis 18:3. And I said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, cast not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Abraham recognized that it is the Lord, but uses the title, my Lord, or Adonai. So he recognizes the law, but he uses a different title. Remember, we know that God's names are in relationship. Right? His names are in relationship. So he said, my Lord, or Adonai, instead of Yahweh or Jehovah. Adonai is using a title, not a name. Right? Adonai is a what? Title, and not a name of God the Father. Adonai, our Lord, is the title spoken in the place of Yahweh. Well, Yahweh in Jewish display of reverence. Adonai also denotes one having authority. Okay? Now Genesis 18:4. He asked him, let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. Washing of the feet is customary in hot climates where only sandals are worn. This is the first necessity of oriental hospitality, and Judges 19 gives us a case where the man of God pulls him inside on the street, provides provender and for the animal, and gives him food and water to drink, or as we read that in his spare time. Not merely because the feet protected only by sandals are soiled by the dirt of the road, but because it cools the whole body and allays the feverishness caused by the heat of traveling. Thus, refreshed they are to rest, to lay themselves in the shade. The word of God reminds us that we should not be forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Amen. I've heard so many testimonies of miracles where people have done something to someone without the way, and the next thing they look, they disappear. So you have to be careful how you treat people, because you don't know who they are. Because we have entertained angels unaware. And Jesus says in Matthew 25:40, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the
least of these, my brethren,
the church would be in trouble, right? serious. We'd be in trouble. Jesus said, inasmuch as you know not to the least of these my brethren, you what?
Not
enough to me. So the way we treat one another is the way we treat the Lord. Right? He's not going to be all right there, but it's the truth. He said, inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, my brothers, so have you done it unto me. So we have to beware how we entertain strangers, and if we have to beware how we entertain strangers, my God, shouldn't we be aware how we treat one another? Because the way you treat me and I treat you, that's how we treat the Lord. Well, I heard Bishop G.T. Haywood explain it this way. You know, that's why it's not good to backbite, talk about each other. Because when we get saved, God deposits something in us. What is that? His Spirit, which is in the form of the Holy Ghost, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the what? Holy Ghost. So because the Holy Ghost is in us, and that's God's Spirit, the way I treat you is the way I treat that Spirit God in you. Remember that. Right? The way I treat you is the way I treat the Spirit of God in you. So God never says, well, you just got to do this. We have to forgive one another. We have to love one another the way I treat you. And as much as you've done it unto the least of these, my best in the house, that's in the church. The way you treat one another, that's how you treat God. The way you turn your back, all that. You know what I'm saying? And then we said, well, I just love the Lord. Jesus said, how can you love me who you can't see? When you can't love your brothers. All right, we're getting off track.
Amen.
Tell me to stay off track.
Stay on track.
I'll try to stay off track, but you know, isn't it all in the training? It's all in the teaching. We have to learn to treat one another right. Because the world is always watching the church. They're always watching our interaction one with another. Genesis 18:5, he says, and I will fetch you a morsel of bread and comfort to your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to thy. He said, listen, Abraham said, you've come here for a reason. He said, don't pass until the reason is taken care of. And they said, so do as thou said. I will fetch a morsel of bread, a piece or a loaf of bread. Keep going. Alright, so he gives him bread, he detains him. You can read that. Let's go to 18:6-7. Alright. I want to get to the crux of everything. And to explain why the Lord came with it. The Lord showed up all the time. This time he brings some extra that. Because it was what? Three. But why? He was just there 3 months ago. What, why did he have to come back again for the Lord? Alright. So 18:6-7. And he says, Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal needed. Made case upon the herd, and Abraham ran unto the herd. Now, Abraham was how old? 99. But the presence of God energized him. That's why it's so good to come to church. Because in his presence, the fullness, and the money in there are. When you get in the presence of God, you get new energy. God forbid you come to church one way, get in God's presence, leave the same way you came. I will look, tell you, look at somebody and say, you missed it. Just tell yourself, you missed it. But if you didn't come to church and be in the presence of God and be the same way you were, amen, there should be a change. Right? So Abraham, the old man, is running. Right? Because he's been energized. Amen. So they kill the animals, they make the butter, they give them the food to eat. Alright, now let's go to the latter part. Says, we also should be bursting with vigorous praise and excitement whenever we're in the presence of God. You can't can't come to church and God's presence is here and you're sitting there all. God's a fool. Saints are not me fools. Well, the wolves are there, all right? All those females, right? Anyway, you should be in church looking like a fire breathing dragon.
Before the Lord knew where Sarah was physically, he also knew what
which was spiritual, as the next text will reveal. 10 says, and he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Notice that it is the Lord speaking and not they, as he says that he would return according to the, not he would return. God said, I'm coming back according to the time of life. The Lord speaks loud enough for Sarah to hear him in the tent as he reiterates the promise of Sarah having a son, as he had already promised in Genesis 17. The question then is, why? Why is God repeating a promise that he had already repeated, that he had already made in the 17th chapter? Why would God do that? All right? Genesis 18, 11, and 12. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old and well-stricken in age. We just read that about who? Zechariah and Elizabeth. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore, Sarah laughed out loud. She laughed out? She just laughed at herself saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being? These two verses shed great light on why the Lord and the two angelic beings were back so soon, after having just spoken to Abraham in chapter 17. Sarah laughed within herself at this. Sarah was not there yet spiritually. That's why the Lord said, I am Sarah. Where are you? I want it tonight. Where are we spiritually? Amen. Amen. And salvation, listen, salvation is so important. Nobody else should ever have a handle on your salvation. Your salvation should be based on your child or anything. Your salvation should be based on you. So people get upset over something somebody else does and say, I just don't feel like going to church. I don't feel like praying. God asked him a question in Jeremiah the 7th chapter. I'm going to go off for a minute, but I'm going to come back.
Right.
He asked him a question in the 7th chapter of Jeremiah. He said, what iniquity, that means fall, what blame? He said, what iniquity have you found that you've gone, not just a little bit, but you've gone, God said, what did I do to you? He said, yeah, you're right. I did wake you up this morning.
Right.
I did start on your way. Jesus. I made sure you had everything you need.
Amen.
He said, well, what's the problem? The reason you're gone.
So far.
He, she, they, and all, and God said, I understand all that. He said, well, what did I do? You with me?
Amen.
We should be in a place of God that no person should ever enforce our worship. Those verses say every influence our devotion.
Amen.
If I don't have a dime in my pocket, where I got these keys. If I don't have a dime in my pocket, that should influence my worship.
Amen.
I told my wife years ago, I had not for her, I said, if I have to live in a shack, as long as I'm saved, I'm satisfied.
Yes.
You know? Because my worship is not dependent on external events. Jesus said, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. They worship him out in spirit. Well, and truth, that messes up some stuff. Because a whole lot of people say, I'm in the spirit.
Jesus.
But God is looking for those that also. Before God, that ain't true. So God Abraham thought within himself. All right, and we know in Genesis 17, 17 through 19, Abraham laughed like Sarah laughed. Here for the first time in this chapter, Abraham visitor identifies himself as Jehovah. The Lord needed Abraham to know that he knew, well, he knew his son. Knew him and Sarah's thoughts, so they both would believe. This is why the child was named Isaac, to remind them, the two of them, that they both laughed. Because Isaac means laughter. So every time they said Isaac, they reminded them how they laughed at God. Amen? Also notice that Genesis 17, 19 reads that God said, and Genesis 18 reads that, that the Lord, he is God. And Jesus is the Lord. If we compare, I'm going to go through these real fast. Time runs away with us sometimes. All right. Let's go fast. Compare to Deuteronomy 4:39. Know therefore this day, considering in thine heart, that the Lord
is God.
Psalm 103. Know ye that the Lord
is God.
He is God. It is he that made us, and not we ourselves. We are. Let's go down 18:14 because time is not close to the end. All right. Well, at Revelation 16 and Revelation 19 and 16, just 13 through 16, just so we can see this, right? And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, his robe had been dipped in blood, and his name is called the what? Verse 13 of it's called the Word of God. Who is the Word of God? In the beginning?
What's the Word?
The Word was with God, and the Word
was God.
The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us.
Amen.
Right. So the Word is who?
God.
Is Jesus is God. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written. Wait a minute. All this is what happens. This says, you know, this is God. He's a be assured of this. God, bear my life. what was necessary for us to be born. Though the law of nature and reproduction were, everything was won against them. But they still had to do something. You know, it's like a lot of people today say, well, I'm trying to get a job. They say, what are you doing? I'm waiting on the Lord. And I'm going to my faith. But you might want to get out of the house and go finish your applications. Because you got to do
something.
And then it's so easy today you don't have to leave home.
All right.
Just go on the internet. But do
something.
Something. God can't do it all. Because faith is belief in action. Faith without words is hallelujah. So well, we're saved by grace, not by words. Yeah, don't be lazy. You try to steal something. Yeah, you might be saved by grace and not by words. Amen. But the Bible says that we ought to work. And it just says, if there's no work, it should be. So you can't just rest in that, all right? Because faith without works is dead, being alone. Faith is progressive and never regressive. Faith is progressively you going forward. Faith should never take you backwards. Faith is progressive and not regressive. Say, well, I used to do this. Nah, you got to keep going forward. What's the song say? I must go forward I do. I must go forward I can. Stop turning around. Faith is progressive. Hebrews 11:13 said, be all done in faith. Not having received the promise, but having seen them. But they did something, even though they didn't receive. They said they were what? Persuaded. They embraced them and they progressed in faith. Faith is very resilient in all ways. How many know we're human? We mess up. But in your faith, don't regress. You have to progress. Go forward. Luke 15:17-18 says, this is when the prodigal son finally came to his death. He was messed up for a little while, but thank God for a mind to come to yourself.
Amen.
Resilient means the ability to become strong, healthy, or successful again after something. Don't stay there. It happened. Bounce back. Right? I guess in church, we're going to have some rubber bands here. You remember the rubber band in Russia? Rubber band always do what? Bounce back. Church has got the rubber band saints. We need to. I mean, they don't show those verses too much, but rubber band says bounce back. Faith is not dormant or. What a minute. Faith is not what? They be not slothful, but followers of them who through. Faith is never content to be idle. This is Jesus saying that about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and said unto them, why are you standing around here all lazy and idle? Because faith should never be idle. Faith in action overcomes the faith in action. A lot of us have faith, but we don't have no action. And the good thing about God and faith, listen, if you do something, God will fix it if you mess it up. Because God said, when you do it in the right spirit, the right order, God will take the crooked thing
and make it straight.
Who will do it? God. Says, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this
mountain,
a literal mountain. We were talking about that kind of mountain. You want to talk about that kind of mountain?
Yes.
Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and
nothing
Nothing shall be impossible. And Lord willing, we'll finish up 18 next week. All right. But faith is action. The Lord had to come back to motivate or move Sarah and Abraham to do what they had to do. Otherwise, they would make him alive. Because he said, at the set time, at the appointed time, when? Next year. Not 10 years, not 15 years. But God said, I can't do what I have to do unless you do what you have to do.
Amen.
I want to tell you how many of us, God said, I can't do what I need to do in your life until you do what you need to do.
Amen.
God said, listen, I'm not a man that I should lie. Not a man. We have to be progressive. So tonight, God is saying, I am. Where are you spiritually? Do we have any questions before we speak?